To give you a little bit of an idea, I'm going to preach today on something, and it might take me two Sundays, and I'm saving the 22nd for a Christmas message, and I'm working on that now. But being in church, how many have been in church most all your life? Me too. Even if, you know, you're like, it wasn't, like we're independent, non-denominational, you know, some, how many were raised Catholic? Methodist? Lutheran? Episcopalian, fishing, no, I'm just, Baptist, yeah, my wife, she was a Southern Baptist girl, yeah, see, and it just, I remember when I first met Kim, we went to a church service, and I said, it's about done, she said, no, I said, well, they've already spoke, she said, that's not the preacher, I said, we've listened to four people, she said, just sit back, and so we did. And 10 years later, no, I'm just saying, but it was a long service. But we were all raised in different ways. And went to church, had our own mindset of what we were taught. And I'm not saying I have all the answers. I do not. And I'm not up here trying to tell you I have all the answers. I'm just telling you I have found some things to be true, and I want to share them with you. You can find them out as well. Mine are based out of the Word of God, as I hope that yours are as well. Let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. When this service is over today, my wife and I will be down front to pray for you and believe with you, and just, you know, for whatever your need is, we're here to help you. So we're here to try to minister to you as well. So after the service, we'll be down front, and so if you need that, please make that available. Okay, get your Bibles out if you got your Bible, or get your device out, depending on how you want to do that. I mean, I do my devotions on my phone and that kind of thing. I know some of you may do that, may not do that, but whatever you have, get your Bible out, your iPad, your iPhone, your Google, whatever they're called. So yeah. But this message, I believe, in this next couple weeks, or you know, to see how far we get today, is so important and critical for our receiving from God. I know I've went through church a lot of my life and thought, how come I'm not seeing the things I read about? I don't know if that's ever been your, but like, I don't want to just, I want to like, if this works, somebody show me. I want to see how it works. And so it's important. And then we've started figuring things out. God is showing us stuff, and we're like, okay. And so I'm just sharing with you the things that I know that have been taught to me. And this message, I'm going to give you the title. And if I could put a little title underneath it, I'd call it Retrain Your Brain. But this was called a hireling mentality, hireling mentality. And so what, you know, and the picture of the graphic that Mal put up there is, you know, I said, hey, do a time clock or something. Because sometimes that's what we think of, like we clock in, we clock out. And, you know, if you ever have a job that you have to do that, that's why you're so grateful when it's whatever time it's time to get home and you're off. That just the mentality of just, I'm off. I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to work on the assembly line. At least for the next several hours, I'm home. We have to have a different mindset than the world has. We want to receive from God. God has to be so much part of us that it's just who we are, because we know whose we are. Come on. So in Him we live, we move, we have our being. But I mean, sometimes I felt like I'm just existing. I'm just going through the motion. Time to make the donuts. Let's use the Word to help us. Let's set the story. Luke 16, 1 and 2. He said to His disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that the man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Boy, I feel the anointing of the Lord in this place today. Thank you, praise team. But God, doesn't He inhabit the praises of His people? Amen. But nobody wants to hear the words, you can't do this anymore. The manager disqualified himself, and we don't want to be disqualified. We want to be qualified. But this is an analogy of how God looks at us and how we are to manage the things that He gives us. Luke 16:8 says, so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So I'm going to just cut to the chase. So I'm kind of skipping around a little one there. But this is the master is saying, okay, you've not been doing good with my money, but he has noticed that this guy had a plan. This guy went out and said, I got to survive, so I'm going to go tell these people, I'm going to cut their bill for them in half so that when I lose my job, they'll take pity on me and I'll have a place to stay, I'll have money, I'll have whatever. So the master is saying, you know, I guess hats off to you because you did have some brains to do something, if that's brains. But he is amazed at this. He's smart enough to think like this is how he's going to at least take care of himself. Now, he should have done that before, not in a bad way, but he should have been doing the right thing and he would have never been in this fix. Amen? But he wasn't doing that. So this guy puts a plan in place to prosper. Had he done the original plan, he would have prospered anyway. Luke 16, 10 and 12, he's faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. He was unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And have I not been faithful in what is another man's? Who will give you what is your own? So there's a test. So where is the test? The test is in the worldly wealth, in our jobs or whatever we're doing, or what has God put in your hands to do for his kingdom. We don't just punch in and punch out. It's like I can't one day say, you know, I'm going to be your dad today, but tomorrow I'm not. It's a full-time job. All the dads said, yeah, you're going to be the dad for the rest of their life. See, I was going to use moms, but everybody knows moms. Moms are like tied to their, moms know everything about your kid. Don't you know that? They have a sixth sense. They have a spidey sense. For real. My kids could pull the wool over my eyes 3 times and I'd never know they were even pulling. For my little boy, Sammy, he works for Pastor Gary full time. He cute, little blonde, adorable. And he's in trouble. And I'm asking him something and he could produce big crocodile tears. He could make them happen. I was buying every bit of it. Beautiful, pokes your head around the wall and goes, he's lying. Puts your head back. I'm like, what? And he's like, Daddy, I'm like, oh, son, it's going to be okay. And she's like, he's lying. And I'm like, how did you know that? She just knew that. She's a full-time mom. Moms always are praying for their kids. So should our dads. We always pray for them. But the test, it's at your job. What you do with what you've been given. Can you be trusted in the natural realm? If you're not trustworthy in the earthly stuff, you're not going to qualify for the kingdom stuff. Does that make sense? Two of you think so. But it's truth. It's a big lesson to learn. God is looking for people he can trust. They're tested. If you're faithful in the little, you can get more. We've had people come in ministry and they have totally trashed whatever they had and they want people to buy them another thing. I'm saying take care of what you got and then you can go from there. My first car was a 68 Pontiac Catalina. You could put Noah and half the animals in the ark in that car. Man, it was a boat, but I took care of it. I changed everything. That's when you could work on a car. You could sit on the side of the car and put your whole hands in the engine and pull things out and go, this is a distributor cap. You can't find one in a car now. It's behind all the other stuff. But I kept good care of that car. I took care of it. I washed and waxed it all the time, and it was Kermit the Frog green. Well, it was a little darker shade, and I called it Kermit. I always named my cars. But I called it Kermit, had Kermit hanging from the rearview mirror. But I kept the inside clean. I had the dash. It was always not. I mean, I did. So when I sold it, I made money. Got something better. Are you trustworthy with what you have? You know, there's no such thing as a little job. You might think you don't matter. If you're a greeter at True Life or wherever, and oh, you don't matter. Yeah, you do. You matter in everything. How many have ever been to Walmart and the greeter just blew you off? I'm like, give me that blue vest. I'll show you how to do that. I mean, unfortunately, you're like, it does set the tone for when you walk in. Hi, how are you? And if they don't answer you and they just look at you, like, I'm like, why are you even here? See, I'm hard today, aren't I? I mean, I love them. I'm just like, you ever go into a drive-thru or go somewhere and it's like they hate their job, but they're going to wait on you? And you're thinking, are you doing anything to my food? I don't know about. Are you trustworthy? Is the job you're assigned getting done? Are you doing it to the best of your ability? That is vital to your future. The manager of this story is what we would call a hireling. He was hired to manage someone else's money. It wasn't his money. He was hired to manage the other person's money. And Jesus tells us what that is. John 10, 11, and 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Do you think God is going to use hirelings? No, he is not. We all have struggled, and we can relate at times in our lives. I'm not saying you got to be perfect, because I got Band-Aids. I'm just telling, I'm preaching to myself. But a hireling, if we have that mindset, we have a hard time receiving from God. A hireling works motivated and judges themselves by that mindset. A hireling proves to be disloyal at times, untrustworthy at times, as we read in this story. Let me tell you why. Because they're not at peace with who they are. They're usually insecure. They feel unworthy. They feel condemned. They have a hard time celebrating if somebody else gets a break or they something happens, or instead of rejoicing with them, they have a hard time with that. They see it happening in their life, and then they struggle because they want it to happen in their. I get that, because we all, if something happens good, we're like, that is so awesome, but we'd like it to happen to us. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it goes past that. There's jealousy. There's envy. There's just, I can't be happy for you. I don't even like you now because you got promoted and I did not. Or you got this and I did not. They're envious. They get offended easily. That's what a hireling does. Let's look at another story, Luke 15. And this is a parable of the lost son. But I'm going to tell you right at the beginning. I've had this preached. I've heard it preached. I've preached it. It was always about the son. It's not about the son. I mean, he's involved. This is about the father. I'm going to show it to you. I've never seen it that way. I'll show it to you today. Luke 15, 11 through 19. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. He divided them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So the younger son, he goes back to the father, and here's the question. Why did he leave? Why did he leave in the first place? I mean, he had it already. He is, his father's wealthy. He lives in his father's estate. He has what he wants. He had the wrong perspective of the father. Because if he had the right one, he wouldn't have left. When he was in want, he remembers that the slaves and the hirelings at his dad's house were taken care of well. So he decides to go back and explain and fall on the mercy of dad. What does he remember? Food. Anybody ever been to college? Or moved out? I moved out on my own. My dad got smarter every time I moved out. Because what happens when you move out? All of a sudden, you got to have food. When Kim and I first got married, we were going to live on love. I like living on love, but we still need food. I would show up when I first moved out. I just happened to show up about 5 o'clock at my mom and dad's house. Strange that it'd always be about supper time. And you not got to know how brave I am, because you have never been to my mom's house trying to find leftovers or whatever she's making. Because if she doesn't have it, she will make it somehow with things that don't go together. And then tell you, eat this. And you're like, no, Mama, please. Food. He remembered eating on a regular basis. And he needs food. So his mindset goes back as a slave. Think about this, as a hired hireling. Because he remembers, hey, the people that work for Dad are doing better than me. I'll go back and be one of them. Because he remembers at Father's house there's food. He still has the same image of his father. It hasn't changed, because he's still thinking, his hirelings have more than what I got. I'm going back. But he's going back for the food. He doesn't have a revelation of how much Dad loves him, how much Dad has cared for him, how much things happened that he didn't even understand or know about until he leaves. He's moved by his need, not by his heart or by his head. He's moved because he needs to eat, or he's not going to make it. He's not moved by the knowledge of Father other than what he knows of Father, his viewpoint. He just knows, if I go there, I can eat. Dad will give me food. And that's what happens to us believers. When we come to Christ, we kind of come in that position. Romans 2:4, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You know what happens? Most of us, if we came to the Lord, it's because we crashed and burned. Something, we went out, we set out, and oh, I don't believe this. I've had people, I don't believe in God. And then later, tell me about this God. I don't believe anything you say about God, but hey, would you pray for me, because I know God listens to you and my grandma's dying. We do. That's how we come back. Something brings us back to go, something about Father God. Maybe we missed. It's working for this person or so-and-so. I could at least maybe get an answer. You see, in the earth system, we're all survivors. We survive. Every one of us have needs. And we find that God has answers for those needs if we turn our gaze and our look towards God. People that have come back to God, they start walking with God and they start saying, how did this happen? I could ask people in here, raise your hand if you're like, I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden now we have food and my bills are getting paid. And I'm not saying you're out of the, but it's just God doing what God does. Some of it we don't even explain other than just, man, it's just God. But there are laws in the kingdom that work, just like there's laws in the earth that work. But most of us are all need-minded. And most of us, when we come to the Lord, we come as a slave. A religious mindset. We were taught that. Because that's how we grew up. That's how we lived our days. And that's how it's judged, and that's what we're used to. We're judged by what you do or don't do. Everything is judged that way, it seems. You ever feel like, I can't do this right, or I need to do this, or somebody's always watching me? Or let me explain. And I've got the T-shirt for this, so please, as I'm telling you this, I'm not throwing stones. I'm telling you from my own life's experience. Someone offers you a gift, what do we say? No. You don't have to do that. You don't have to give that to me. Why do we say that? We get complimented on something that you, maybe you wear or that you have. Oh, that's great. And we tell them, well, I had somebody come in one time. And a miracle how we lived in a house in New London. Remember that? And that's one of her favorite houses, not past the one we have now. We love that, our house now. But in this house, people walk through and like, oh, man. But God did it. We didn't even, he did it in less than 30 days. It was crazy. But in these situations, you know, they went by and they looked at we had a table we still have now. It's in our kitchen. And it's like an Amish oak table and has the claw feet and all that. And they're like, oh, I love that table. It's a beautiful table. Right away, this is what I said. Oh, well, you know how we got that table? We were in a car wreck, and that was part of the, because somebody hit us. They gave us money, and we went and bought a table. Why did I tell them that? And you know, the Lord rebuked me on that later when they left, hey, I like that outfit you have on. Oh, I got it at the Goodwill for $3. Why? Why are we telling them that? We had some people tell us one time, your kids are so well-dressed. And we'd say, you got to understand, Kim is a shopper. She would go to Goodwill, Salvo, or whatever, and she'd find Nike shoes or whatever, and she'd buy them, and she'd get great deals. And I mean, in the beginning, Mal was our second baby. Our first was a stillborn. Mal was the second. She had everything. Isn't that how the firstborn did? I mean, like, she got everything, and it was brand spanking new, for the first several months. Here's a new pair of, but like in 2 weeks, she's grown out of it. So you're spending $40 on these little tiny shoes to go back and go, what do I do with these now, unless you're having more kids? And then, are they in? These aren't in. We can't wear these. Well, I'm not giving them away, and so you got that whole thing going on. So you kind of get smarter and you figure it out. But we have that whole mentality of making up, well, we got this here, we got this there. And God rebuked me and said, why are you doing that? Well, because I don't know. But I didn't do anything to get it. And so I feel that I have to explain why I have it. Are you with me? Why it's in my possession. Because, see, in the world system, the labor system, you only get what you put in for. That's not how the kingdom works. You have to put your hand to it, yes. But I'll explain. I had to explain to people, I did nothing to do that, because they would say, and I don't want them to get the wrong impression. I had somebody tell me, I bought her a Jaguar one time. You know those cars that have the little cat on the front? It was used, but it was really cool. Those things are heavy. That thing rode across the road like butter. I mean, it was just like, it was just cool. And she just wanted one, so I bought her one. And it was used. I had people that were, she shouldn't have a Jaguar. Well, you shouldn't have a Pinto. I had one of those too. But, it's just like, I'd have to explain. Well, I got it used. I got this great deal, and I sold this and had some extra money, and I was just able to do it. And why? Because there was no labor. I mean, I had to have them know that there's a way that I did it. See, if I feel like I didn't do anything to deserve it, then I have to explain it. And that's what we do. But let me just ask you this. Wasn't their choice? Who bought the table? Who bought the clothes? Who bought the Jag? Was it their choice? No. It was my choice. Or if somebody gave you something, oh, I got this as a gift. And we have to explain, well, my dad gave me this. Why? I mean, it's okay to honor my dad. There's nothing wrong with that, but whose choice was it? If I wanted to give my son something, I gave my son, we had a 52-inch Bobcat zero-turn mower. We moved from where we lived to one time. We moved into town. I could mow my yard in about 2 seconds with that mower. And Sam had a big yard, so I just gave him my mower. So my point is this. Is it his choice? Or was it my choice? It was my choice. I gave it to him. I chose to give it to him. It's the one giving the gift's choice. So a hireling, they get their identity by what they do. So when they get saved, they start attending church. They want to work for God. They feel guilty. They, hey, if I miss church. Now, please don't, I don't want you to miss church. I'm not giving you a reason to miss church. Not telling you to miss church, but in our mindset, we're like, boy, if we ever miss church, we feel guilty. Why? Because we're not working. What will God think? God might not be happy with me because we struggle with the mentality. If we peel this back a little bit more, that's just religion, folks. Did you know you can't do anything to make God love you less? And you can't do anything to make him love you more? That's huge. Religion teaches us that righteousness is based on what we do. God's not happy unless we're doing something with him, for him. I mean, if we come to church, hey, punch in, punch out. I mean, come on, I got to be doing something. I got to do something. I want to make sure God's happy with me. We judge ourselves in that perspective because that's how we grew up in the earth curse system. Everything to be happy. Got to make somebody happy. How many didn't like it if people didn't like you? You found out somebody just did. I have people that don't like me. I don't even know why they don't like me. Can't do anything about it. But it would bother you. Go to school with people, and if they're mad at you, you're like, I can't stand to have somebody mad at me. I know what that feels like. Until we fix that problem, until we start working on retraining our brain from that hireling mentality, we're going to struggle receiving. Many of us don't even think it's second nature to us, but we've done it so long, it kind of is. It just gets past us. Subconsciously, we're so used to it, we don't think about it. And what happens in our natural will bleed over in our spiritual, and it works the opposite, too. You get more spiritual, it'll bleed over in your natural. You get more of the Word of God in, it's going to come out in the natural, in your everyday life, because it's, you remember they say garbage in, garbage out, get good word in, word comes out. I don't want to be hindered just because I don't want to understand. Does that make sense? If it's not working, I want to know why it's not working. Because if I could fix it, dear God, I could get it working. I want to understand the natural, but I also want to understand the spiritual. So people living in father's house as a slave, let me be a servant. I can work. Pastor, just let me work in Kids Town. Let me work in the nursery. Let me be a greeter. Let me be an usher. There are people that, I just want to work with kids. Do you like kids? Can't stand them, but I want to work with them. No, you don't. You know, anybody that works with kids, we do a national background check on, just so you know. We pay for that. That's our choice. You don't pay for that, but we want to make sure everybody here is safe. But what I'm saying is people, as they come through and we have this mentality, I need to be deuced. You know, if I tell somebody, can just sit for a little bit and just enjoy the presence of God, make some friends and stuff, get to know if this is where the Lord wants you and all that, I'm good with that. I've had people come in and say, guess what? I'm going to be your next yada, 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 whatever. And I'm like, okay, great. As soon as God tells me, I'll put you in. Until then, have a seat. They're usually gone in 2 weeks. I don't give anybody position just because they want it. I have people that the Lord says, I need you to shepherd. But see, we get to this thing where we're just coming to the Lord. As long as if I'm doing something for God, I feel better about myself, and I feel like I've earned God, he's happy with me. If that describes you, and again, I love you, and it described me at one time, so please know, but that's wrong. If you think that whatever you do, I'm only doing it because I got to keep God happy, that's wrong. That is a hireling mentality. And if we think that way, we're going to have a hard time receiving if God has something for us. Let me just say this, because it's not your choice, it's God's choice. I'll say it again. It's not your choice, it's God's choice. And the story says there's two sons, and we talked about the younger one. Let's talk about the older one. The younger one came to the father expecting judgment and condemnation, but that's not what he got. He got the father running to him, hugging him, kissing him. Now, understanding that the younger just came from a pig pen, and that's like no bueno back in this time. So when the father hugs him, this guy's got pig stuff all over him. So now the father, and see, in their culture, that was unclean. So now the father is unclean because he didn't even care. Come here. And gives him a hug anyway. Kisses his cheek. Probably got pig stuff on his lips. Yuck. Unclean. I mean, you know, so he's not caring about that. By the show of affection, he's saying he's past all that. He covered him with a robe. That gives, you know, that's just showing I'm covering all of what just happened. Do you understand? The father, I'm going to say it one more time. The father is saying, hey, you are my son. Come here. And he covers him with that. He gives him a signet ring, which means he has authority. This is in his father's jurisdiction. You wear the family ring. That means what you print on, what you say, it carries weight. It goes. He puts shoes on his feet, which means he has access now. He can go around in his father's kingdom. He's prepared the calf. He's been restored as a son. Now the brother, the older brother, is not happy about this. He didn't want to even do anything with the shindig. Didn't want to go in, not happy, tells dad about it. Hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's got a wrong viewpoint of the father as well. Look at Luke 15, 28 and 29. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore, his father came out, pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. The NIV says, the older says, all these years I have been slaving for you. The New Living Translation says slaving as well. So the older son has the same mentality. I've punched in and punched out for you every day, did all this, always did this. I have been your slave. He's got a wrong perspective of the father. He is already saying, you are a hard taskmaster. You're hard. He's been a slave. He's not calling himself a son. He sees himself as a hireling. And we talked about being easily offended. This guy has kept track. All these years. Have you ever had anybody keep track? I have. I've had people keep track. And I'm like, I didn't even know they're keeping track. But they sure told me they were. See, their life is governed by that. That's how they live. That's the shadow they live under. That's the oppression that they feel. This guy goes on to say, I've never disobeyed you. But here's all the things I've done, and here's what you haven't done for me. The father stops in verse 31 and 32, and he said, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad your brother was dead. Now he's alive again, was lost and found. Notice the father calls him son. He doesn't call him slave. We're looking at two different viewpoints here. He tells him, you're always with me, and everything I have is already yours. So because the son's perspective was warped, he couldn't receive from the father. When people come to church, they already have a mindset. This is what church is. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. You come to Jesus, here's what you can do. There's the Ten Commandments. We can't do this. We can't have, no Christian can have any fun. You ever heard that? We have a wrong perspective of God. And God, you're a hard taskmaster. It's just too hard. We can never do enough for you. We have this viewpoint. I was just talking with somebody before service, and I've heard this, I don't know, I've lost count. If I came to church, why, the whole roof would fall in. Okay. I'm here, and it's still up. Hey, I'm a pastor, and I'm still not perfect. I still am a goon sometimes. Did I say that? I probably shouldn't have said that. But I mean, nobody's perfect. We're all, you know, we all have a past. We all have, you know, but thank God for grace and mercy in the blood of Jesus. In a hireling's mind, they're always short. Not height-wise, they fall short. They believe that God is happier if they're always doing things for him. We fight with condemnation on ourselves. I could never do enough. I don't do that good enough. What about that person? Boy, they're good. They do everything well. They're afraid of God, so they can't relax in his presence. And the act of going to heaven kind of scares them. They feel inadequate. They don't know if they did enough to get in. Did enough. They hope they get in. That's crazy. I've talked to people that are just like, I just want to do enough to slide in under the door. Really? See, they put all of this other pressure that's not even there. You know, we fought against, this is what you fight against, deception and fear from the enemy. Because if the enemy can keep you deceived, he will. Because the people that are deceived don't know they're deceived. They get upset, they're afraid, they can't, they struggle insecurity-wise, and it's just, that's just the enemy. Let me just say this. Salvation is a legal issue. It's not a hope-so issue, it's a fact. If you give your heart to the Lord, you call out to the Lord, the Bible says he hears you and he will save you. Legally, it's done. It's not about your feelings. Have you ever, every day of your life, do you always feel saved? I don't. I've worked in a factory where on an assembly line with people that were saying they're Christians, and I've been pushed to almost that limit, but not have done it, where they all of a sudden they hit their hand. There's a lot of things come out, but it wasn't, oh, thank you, Jesus. Does that mean they're not saved? No. This doesn't mean they're not saved. This is already, we're not talking about perfection here, people. Jesus already paid for everything. We're talking about just submission to the Lord and just saying, God, you pay for the, and repenting, yes, we need to be accountable and repentive, yes. If we could understand and relax in the presence of God, and know who we are, we can get what he has for us, for his kingdom, to show ourselves strong for the kingdom of God. We don't have to, life doesn't have to be the struggle bus. You know, when we get to heaven, we should be celebrating, right? Isn't that the goal? I mean, I don't want to go now. I get it. But when I get there, I want to be celebrating. I just heard not long ago, John Wayne got saved. He's going to be in heaven. That's awesome. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to say, Jesus. He said, hey, I got somebody to meet you. And he's going to go, well, it's good to see you, Brett. I'm going to be like, yes, Duke. I mean, I hope a lot of my icons get saved. I hope Stallone gets saved. Who else is up here, Jesus? Hey, come over here. Hey, absolutely. Hey, yo. I mean, would that be just like, wow? So when we get to heaven, we should be celebrating. But we want to go at the right time, obviously. I'd like to go in the rapture personally. But the problem is we've been listening and living and walking in wrong teaching. This just happens. This is just, we've accepted everything that happens to everyone else as that is just status quo. That's what happens. That's not Bible, people. And I'm trying to break my mind out of it too. Do you know you don't have to be sick? The Bible says Moses, his eyes never dimmed. He climbed a mountain. That dude is up there in years. We can have what God says we can have if we believe it. But see, our problem is we've been walking this other way all our lives. Because what happens with man, if we don't have an answer, we make up an answer. Because that way we don't have to be accountable for it. But if we would drop the plumb line and snap it from what the Word says, that's what I want. God, give me that. Am I looking at this wrong? Maybe I'm seeing this wrong. Because we still think, what if I didn't do enough? I want to get to heaven. What if I didn't do enough? Hey, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's it. I'm going there. Now, if he wants to ask me what I mean, you know, maybe I didn't do everything I should have done with everything he gave me. I hope I'm doing everything, but that's not my issue. My issue isn't whether I'm going or not. I'm going. I'm going to be there. It's going to be fun. Of course, again, I don't want to go right now. You hear me? I don't want to go right now. But see, the enemy's going to say, well, you didn't repent over this or you didn't say that. Can I just tell you, that's bogus. That's a word from what generation is that word from? Let's just say it's from today. Okay, that's bogus. Yes. But Jesus died for all that. He's not going back to the cross. He died for, you don't, well, I need Jesus to, he's already done it. Our problem isn't trying to get something we don't have. Our problem is trying to activate something that's already been done. We're not sick people getting well. We're well people fighting off sickness. We're telling the enemy, you can go to the front door and get out of here. We have an identity crisis in the body of Christ. When you get born again, your spirit is the same. It's God's spirit. They're linked. The Bible says that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. That's huge. See, people, when we struggle, it's because we don't really know who we are in Christ and what Jesus did for us. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water and beheld the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit. This is going to be my last one, and I'm going to save the rest for next week, okay? Just so you know, because I see what time it is, and I know you're hungry. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and suddenly a voice came from the heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I'm going to end with this one. Why is God well pleased? How much did Jesus do from up to this point? I'll answer it for you. Nothing. He didn't do anything yet. He didn't do anything until after he was baptized. He didn't cast any demons out. He didn't heal anyone. He hasn't really done anything. And God says, I'm pleased with you. Let me tell you this. This is why. Because he's his son. Jesus is God's son. I'm pleased with you because you're my son. We've told our boys, you can't go far enough for me not to love you. Do I agree with everything any of my kids have always done? But they're my kids. I love them. They didn't do anything. My choice. Identity, identity, identity. We're going to come back to this next week. I'll review a little bit and we'll jump right in from where we left. But as I close this out today, I hope in your mind you're thinking a little like this. I still got some religion in my mind. I know I'm getting mine cleared. I got to retrain my brain. Sometimes it's not so easy because it seems like everything is flowing this way. And to go with the flow is easy. But to be the one that swims against it and go upstream, that's kind of tough. But you're going to need to do it. That doesn't mean you have to voice everything to everybody. This is what I love about this time of year. One of the scriptures that I love. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, this is what's going to happen. And she said, be it unto me, as you've said. I mean, what kind of a mindset is that? And you might be like, well, that's easy because there's an angel standing in front of her. Yeah, I get that point. But there wasn't that. She had to walk all of that out. I mean, that angel wasn't there when baby's growing. They got to travel. You know, he's not walking beside her where there's no account of that. But she says this. The Bible says that she pondered. She kept those things in her heart. I love that. In other words, she's not caring. Obviously, believe it or not, you know, Joseph had to come into line. She is saying, be it unto me, as you've said. What is God telling you today? What is your mindset saying? God, I can't do that. What if you would swap that and say, be it unto me, as you have said? Maybe he says, I need you to call so-and-so and tell them that I love them. I need you to forgive this person or ask them to forgive you or whatever. Be it unto me, as you've said. See, my mindset goes like this sometimes. I'm out in the public, and I love being out and handing out little cards to tell people to come and visit us at church and stuff. Come to church. You know, I have people that are like, you know, it's obvious they have some kind of a physical something. And my mindset has been, hey, come to church and I'll pray for you. I've seen God use me many times in healing. That's fine. Switch. Why do they have to wait to come to church? What if God put them in front of me to say, I want to pray for you right now. Can I pray for you? Some people will say, yes. Other people will be like, no. I mean, all they can do, now, listen to what I'm saying. Whose choice? Yes, pray for me. They chose. Remember the woman that touched his garment? Jesus didn't even know she was there. Whose choice was it? It wasn't his. He didn't even know she was there. It was her choice. She declared, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she tells him, this is what I did. So this is your choice. This season is your choice. I don't know about you, but this is what God told me to do for this year. He gave me the word for this church for 2025. For 2 years, we've had the same thing. You know, we were going to see farther, go farther, move the stakes, and expect. We've done that for 2 years. We're going to continue to do that. He's not told me to stop, but he just added to it. I'm stoked. Are you ready? Three words he told me. Light it up. I'm going to light it up. We're going to do some things, not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual. That is one of the reasons that Brother Chad is going to be coming, because he's going to help change your mindset. Because he's changing mine. Not Chad, Jesus. Just so you know. But he has his mindset. Your choice. What if God would use you? Something you're just in your mindset, well, no, he'll never use me. What if you chose that he would? Jesus died for you just like he died for me. The measure of faith is in you just like it's in me. Your choice. Everybody in here has muscles. You know, we all have biceps or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay. So we all have the same. Some exercise, there's more. So some are bigger. Doesn't necessarily mean their faith is bigger. It just means they exercise it more. They're more experienced with it. Does that make sense? Your choice. I don't want to live this next year limping along. Kim and I were talking the other day, and we were just, remember when Audrey Mack was here? She was awesome. She's just going up to people saying, you know, I love her accent. I would like to pray for you. I cannot do an Audrey Mack accent, but anyway. And so people be like, oh, okay. and she would show them, like she did here, how you can use your own authority to get healed by Jesus. And they would get healed because they would choose to believe. How about you? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Today.